Hi there. This is Conscious Living. I'm Wendy Guerin. Thanks for tuning in. I appreciate your time, whatever you're doing. Hope you're having a great day. And we would like to help you make it better. So listen along. Echo Bodine is a psychic. She's been that way since she was a kid. She knew about it. She had a clue, which is really nice because sometimes it sneaks up on you and you don't realize what's going on. And all of a sudden it's like, holy cow. This isn't the world I thought I was born into. Okay, well, she probably had a little bit of a head start. And so she has several books. A Still Small Voice is one I remember. There are, if you go onto her website, echobodine.com, really easy to navigate. You can find out more. The book we're talking about today is like the most recent one, What Happens When We Die, which is a really fascinating look into what the experience is and how you go through the transition process from this side and also from the other side as well. So, without any more of my explaining what it is, let's just get into the show. Hello, Echo.
Hello, sweetheart. It's good to be here again. I love
Yay!
It. Yay! Let's have some fun today.
And so much has happened. So much has, I think spent 6 or 8 years since the first time I spoke with you. And I had the book then at that point. And it was basically like a little primer of psychic abilities and just, you know, you sticking your toe in the water, I think, mm-hmm. and saying, hey, this is it. And since then, so many things have happened. The book you have right now that deals with this exploration of the afterlife and what happens to a soul that goes through that process, I think is incredibly, incredibly helpful for anybody who has lost or is mm-hmm. in the process of losing either a person or a pet, somebody close to them. It deals with that. I really, really appreciate the way that you have put this together.
Thank you. Thank you very much. There was a lot of thought went into that one because it just, you know, there's so many people dying right now. It's just spooky how many people are checking out on a daily basis. So the timing of the book, I think, was really remarkable. Thank you, universe.
Well, and it's high profile, too. It's like, you know, because we've recently, the Joan Rivers and Robin Williams, and there's some very, very well-known, notable names, some very important and influential writers. It's just this whole spectrum of transitions, mm-hmm. and it doesn't matter how well-known or how totally and completely under the radar each and every being has mm-hmm. made an impact in some way, shape, or form in our reality.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yep.
You address the book in that way of saying everybody's reality, since I did that, is different. Can we dive into that? Because I think that also is really powerful.
You know, the thing is, I mean, you know, we have a lot of different ideas about what heaven is going to be like. And on the other side, there are lots of different communities, and each community reflects a different reality, a different belief system. And so, you know, when we die and we go to heaven, we go to the community of other people that believe like we do. And then at some point, as we continue to grow, we go to different communities, and then we go to higher levels in heaven. And it's a process. It's very interesting just to watch the whole process. And you know what, Wendy? There's even a place on the other side similar to what a hell would be like. But as the spirits have said to me, God would never create a place like hell, ever. He would never send any of us to some burning inferno somewhere below the ground. but because a lot of people believe that they're going to go to hell when they die, our belief systems, our consciousness has actually created this community. Now, you know, when you get there and you go, yep, I knew I was going to hell, you know, souls start to think, wait a minute, is there a different way to do this? We come out of that community, we ask questions, and then we start growing. But it can take souls a while that really believe that they're supposed to be there. It's kind of sad. You know, there are helpers on the other side that say you don't have to go there. But for people who really believe that that's where they're going to go, then they go to that community. But really, for heaven, heaven is like the coolest place ever. And it's really cool to know that, okay, over in that community, people believe that, you know, you have to be a strong, hardworking German Catholic. And then this community over here, they believe that only Lutherans get to go to heaven. And in this community over here, they're Native American Indians. And so, again, as we grow in on our spiritual path, really, and start looking at others, and we're no longer making judgments, you know, things start to change, and there are higher levels in heaven. So that's always nice. We're just always striving for that highest place.
One of the things I thought was so refreshing, and this morning I was getting my own sense of guidance and all, and I was being told, it's okay to drink your coffee. If you want to drink your coffee, remember, the things that help you ground to this reality and this place are important. So mm-hmm. as I'm reading your book, refreshing, because I skimmed it and was reading back into it and picking up pieces, your mom is saying, I really want some coffee. So in honor of mom, because I was drinking my green tea, I thought, okay, in honor of your mom, I'm going to go and enjoy my coffee. And it was so pertinent and, you know, synchronistic. That's how these things work. And I knew, the little nudge of your mom, you know, that was the thing of you writing this book. Darn it. It was a time when you were going through this as well. And even though it helps to fill it out, it's mm-hmm. still that experience of going through it that takes a tremendous energetic effort to mm-hmm. bring yourself to full presence when doing this.
I know, sweetie. You know, the timing was amazing. And, you know, like I say in the book, I was supposed to turn the book in, like, I think December 2011 or something, and it was supposed to go in December. Okay. And I had written every chapter but the last chapter, and I could not. Gosh, it was driving me crazy. I'd write a chapter and go, oh, this isn't how I want to end the book. And I'd wait, and then I'd write another chapter, oh, and I'd throw that away. And it was delete, delete, delete. And I just thought, I just don't get this. And my publisher called, you know, the book is due. Yeah, I know. But
yeah, remember that thing called deadline?
Yeah, deadline. Yeah. And uh-huh. I'm like, it's not happening, you guys. I'm really stuck on the last chapter. Well, okay, do the best you can. Okay. You know, January, February, March, April, May, June, July. I'm still, oh my God, I can't do it. I sit down, the page is blank. And then, when mom went into hospice in June, I had this little, I wonder, and then just went through the whole process. And then when she died in October, it's like, okay, it's all real clear now. And it was a perfect ending to the book. So many people have said they loved that chapter of just what we went through, you know, on a psychic level and on a human level. And it was a perfect ending for the book.
Everything. So. Well, and that's the amazing thing about this, you know, is we may have little bits and pieces of our timeline and bits and pieces of what we are doing to connect, but there's this greater script that's running.
Amen.
And it incorporates the co-creators with us, and they have a timeline too. So the word deadline then had a whole different meaning.
Yes. You got it, girl.
In a nice way. You know, we have all this big boo, you know, frightening, scary thing about avoiding death. And good grief, everybody goes through it. I did a reading recently, and the soul, the energy says, don't worry about death. Nobody gets out alive. Just do it. Make a plan for it. Get over it, and then get to living.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's right. Amen.
What do you do now when you're dealing with people that you have this? Is your mom still helping from the sidelines, or how is that phase coming together?
No, that's a very interesting question, because here's, you know, my sister and I, okay, we used to go and visit mom all the time. My sister's a psychic. I'm a psychic. My brother's a psychic. And mom would say to us, you know, hey, guys, it's going to be okay, because we'll just keep on talking. You know, I'll just be from a different side, and I won't have this sickly body. And it's like, okay. Well, then, after she passed, it's like, okay, Mom, let's talk. And Mom, where are you, Mom? And
hello?
She did not come around for, gosh, wow, I don't know. It was a while. And then, I mean, I'm talking months. And then, when she did, her energy was so light. She was like a little baby. And it's like, Mom, she said, you know, honey, I was sick for so long, and it just really drained my energy. And I'll come and visit when my energy gets stronger. And okay, and then, I don't know, sweetie, it was probably a year. A year. It could have even been longer. Year, 13, 14 months. All of a sudden, there she is. Mm-hmm. Hey, girls, I'm back. And but the fact that her energy is back doesn't mean that she comes here that often. She just comes once in a while. And I've asked her what she's doing over there, and she always just smiles at me. So,
oh, that is so not fair. She's not going to spill the beans.
You know, honey, really, it's like, and I wonder too, okay, Mom, are you still doing readings on the other side? You know, because there's probably lots of souls over there that are coming and asking her questions. So maybe she is doing readings on the other side. I wouldn't be surprised, because she loved the work, and she was excellent at it. And, you know, it's a funny thought to think psychics are in heaven, but where else are we going to go? So it's cool. I bet you that's what she's doing.
Well, that part,
and
I think, is
another
so
thing that's cool is she would read tarot cards. And a couple weeks ago, my sister was going through some tough stuff, and my mom appeared to her and said, hey, honey, let's read your cards. And so my sister said, what? And she goes, shuffle the cards. I'll read the cards. So my sister shuffled her cards, and then Mom read them to her. Mom read them for her.
Yeah.
Now, isn't that something?
Yeah. See, that's what I think is fascinating. That's just, it's fascinating, the connections. And that brings to mind, and for me, the focus is on developing our telepathic abilities, because people who have not experienced any of this say, oh, no, it's impossible, it's unreal, it doesn't exist, it's fabrication, it's fiction, it's imagination. Once you've had your own experience with this, all of that on the sidelines, calling and the nattering nabobs of negativity goes away, mm-hmm. because you know reality for yourself. And
yeah,
it's just
right.
incredibly
yeah.
liberating.
You know, it seems so strange to me. I just got an email yesterday from a guy who said, you know, I've read your book, What Happens When We Die. I find it very interesting, but my wife wants to know where the science backing it up is. It's like, what? I'm not a scientist. Don't come and ask me where. That's not even my field. You know, I write about what I know, and she'll have to find it someplace else. But I think it's funny that people are always asking me that. Well, explain it to us. You know, put it in black and white. And how,
it is.
How
it
can
is.
You?
It is. See, that's the thing, though. Whenever you look at some of the most incredible scientists and brilliant minds, mm-hmm. they have this other connection, this spirit, this intuition, that yep. connection that's also very strong. Einstein, if you yep. look at that, and it doesn't mean they do the quantum equations, they do the physics, they do the math. However, I do believe the math is now appearing, but somebody has to go first without the math and say mm-hmm. it's there. What did Columbus do? Now, this is a fiction. It's a storytelling. Okay. So bear with me for a moment.
Okay.
But when the world was supposedly flat, and the mm-hmm. ocean went out there and it just fell off the end of the table, somebody mm-hmm. still set sail and said, I believe there's more. Somebody mm-hmm. has to do this now, and eventually science will catch up.
I love
That's
that.
My feeling.
See, I love that. I love that.
Well, you have
eventually.
To be fearless. You
That's
have
really
to
good,
do
honey.
What you're doing, knowing that people are going to say, there's no math. There's no math. That's fine. I don't do math. You figure it out. Somebody mm-hmm. will do the math. And that's just that's how it works. I
yep.
love that. And I love that you're doing what you're doing and you're expanding it. The mm-hmm. telepathy, is that hard for somebody to connect to when they are unsure the source?
You know what? Lately, a lot of the spirits, probably in the last 6 months, the spirits keep talking to me about, you've got to teach people about telepathy, because it's really, really important that we learn how to communicate on that level. And it's fascinating. You know, I teach psychic development classes, so I go to class, I talk to my students about it. How are you with telepathy? And we do these little exercises, you know, of my dad and I used to do them when I was younger and I was developing. He was living in San Francisco at the time. So we would just pick a date, you know, okay, on Thursday at 2:00, let's send each other a thought and, or several thoughts, and just write down what comes into our mind. And we got pretty good at it, you know, in the beginning. Oh my gosh, it was just like a joke. We weren't close at all, but, what it did was it made us conscious way more conscious of the thoughts that we were receiving, and it helped both of us to build up that mental telepathy. So that, like with my husband and I mean, God, girl, we don't even have to talk, and that's just really cool. So all of us need to pay more attention to, you know, like when all of a sudden the thought of someone comes into your mind, and a lot of times we think, oh, you know, and then we don't think anything more about it. But I think if more and more people would follow up on some of the thoughts that come into their mind, they'd find out that so-and-so was just thinking about them, just thinking about calling them, or just thinking that, oh, I miss so-and-so. And I don't know, it's just if we paid more attention. And yet, there's also this fine line of, my ministry used to call it spiritual indigestion, where we can get so focused on, oh, was that a message from spirit? Oh, who was that? Oh, what was that thought for? And then we get a little crazy with it. So we have to play with it and work with it. And like with you and Matt, just send thoughts back and forth to each other and see, did you just receive that thought? And hey, Matt, were you just thinking about a red barn, you know? And, yeah, I was actually, you know, it's that simple, but being really conscious that we have to learn to communicate more on a mental telepathy level because
I can't, oh, that reminds me of something. Just real quick, we'll continue it. But I don't remember if it was Matt. We were doing a show, and something happened with the power with the connection.
Okay.
And he said something, and I heard it on my end. And so after the show, I said, "Yeah, I heard you say la la la." And he goes, "What?" And he told Brent that this had happened, and he said, "I didn't say anything out loud." But the thing that he said was so clear in my thoughts that I heard it, and he was so embarrassed because he said, "I didn't have the audio on." Okay, yeah, Matt's telling it was Nate. I didn't have the audio on. It was impossible. It couldn't have happened. So it really blew his okay. sense of real, because yeah. and I thought it was so clear to me that that's what he said. I just thought that was so, because I knew he was frustrated. I knew he was like, "Oh, I got to make this thing work," and there it just it. For no reason, it didn't work. He couldn't figure it out. And it was just so amazing for him to know that something was heard. And Matt says that Nate told him about it. So is it that thing of, we have so many more things going on in our minds that are readable and audible on other levels, that it's like we are never alone, and we don't realize how powerful that is. And I think you are helping people to connect with that telepathic awareness and develop it. And I love that. Yeah, you talk about the in your book with your dad how you did that and sending.
Yeah, it's, you know, the other thing too is that when we die, our soul doesn't talk with our mouth. Our soul sends thoughts to people, and do they hear every one of our thoughts? No. But if there's emotion behind the thought, if there's energy behind the thought, then that's what people hear. And so it's just kind of another way of preparing for our next life, to learn how to communicate telepathically. I would suggest to anybody listening to this tonight to, you know, call up your best friend and say, "Hey, can we try this? Can we work on this?" I think I told this story in the book. I'm not sure. I know it's in one of my books, where my best friend, my former best friend lived in Malibu, and we're both writers, and it was one Sunday morning, or was that Sunday morning? No, it was during the week. I was sitting and I was writing, working on one of the books, and all of a sudden I got this picture in my head of a hot fudge sundae, and I thought, "Oh man, that looks really good." And but it wouldn't go away. And I said to myself, "Stop, you're not going to have a hot fudge sundae. Just keep writing." Well, the thought came in so strong that I literally got up, went to the Dairy Queen, got a hot fudge sundae, came back, ate it.
To make it go away. Yeah.
And so then later on, I was talking to my girlfriend on the phone that night, and she said, she was the one that happened to say, "God, Echo, today, I had to have a hot fudge sundae so bad. I was crawling out of my skin, and she was on a diet. So she was, you know, trying really hard not to think about it. Okay. So here I am in Minnesota and she's in Malibu, California. I pick up the thought and I said to her, wait a minute. What happened? She goes, I don't know. All of a sudden it just went away. Okay. And I said to her, I'm the one that ate the hot fudge sundae. And, oh, we had a great giggle about that. Well, then it was a week later on a Sunday morning, and all of us, I'm riding, and all of a sudden, bam, this plate of French toast. And I'm like, what? No, you're not going to have French toast. But I became almost obsessed. It's like, oh, I've got to have French. Okay, so I get in the car. I call a restaurant. I order French toast. I go pick it up. I come home. And again, the same thing. That night we were talking and she said, this diet is killing me this morning. I would have killed for French toast. I'm like, oh my God. And,
she's going to make you go on a diet.
That's what I said. I said, could you please start craving salads? This is going to cost me a lot of pounds. So, you know, that was our big joke, but we started to pay more attention to the thoughts that would come in and we would write them down. Just thoughts, random thoughts, you know, because both of those things were just random thoughts. Yeah. And then we started to realize, holy smokes, we communicate a lot more on a mental telepathy level than we even realize.
Well, and our pets can tell us that. I want to just, in terms of this, and again, we're talking with Echo Bodine, she's written so many different books. We're covering a whole lot of territory with this little overview here in the hour. But when we project, when we're putting stuff out there like that, unconsciously, it's like the thing that I had with Nate, that it was so real, and Matt reminded me, we're doing the Skype thing here, he reminded me, he said it was so real that I asked him to edit it out. That's how I picked up on it. And we are doing this when we go out shopping, when we go out to movies, when we are in our homes, when we are driving, we're picking up on this all the time. And when you begin to tune in and realize you're either projecting or receiving, you can kind of eliminate some things that don't resonate for you. Like that, if you said, this isn't me, this isn't me, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
You're becoming more conscious of that wonderful, beautiful highway, that network of communication that's constantly going on in our thought stream. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does.
Yeah, it does. You're living it. I shouldn't ask.
Yeah.
Duh. Okay. So if we're going to the next segment, because I brought up the pet thing. I wanted to bring that because they are helping us develop our abilities. And I know you can address that.
Okay.
Okay,
right.
So
you want me to do it now, or are we taking a break?
We're gonna in a couple minutes. First, I want to go back with your friend. So is she off her diet yet? Are you safe?
Oh gosh, buddy. You know what? We lost touch with each other, and I'm sure she's fine. I don't know how she's doing, but we continued to communicate like that. It was really fun. And
see,
now
that's
I see
the thing.
That.
Yeah.
I see it with my husband too. And, you know, you were talking about animals. I mean, honey, really, if people would pay attention to their thoughts, you know, when they look over their dog or their cat and, you know, go to your bowl, go eat, do something, just watch the animal respond to the thoughts that go into their mind. It's very fun to see how much they respond to our thoughts. They definitely can.
Now, I want to give you a session when I come back about how this worked for me, because it's so powerful. There's a very prominent person who does deal with angels, and I was so disappointed because this person said there are no pets, there are no animals in heaven.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, so that's why I thought I wanted you to get in here and bring that, turn that around, because that isn't my experience.
That's just ridiculous.
Well, but it is her, that is her reality, and she has a very strong connect with that other realm, and she does see that. But this one is closed to her for whatever reason, and I don't, you know, but at the same time, I thought, all right, let's shift that, because I respect her view and her experience for whatever reason, she's in a different space with it. Mm-hmm. And that's when I, when you said all the realities are different, we don't share the same reality. That is so important to express that so that we each have the ability to bring through what it is we see and maybe enhance that in somebody else. Does that make sense? You know, so, okay. And when we come back, we're going to do this back, little
I want to address that also, honey, because there's a best-selling book that, I want to talk about with that.
Yes. Okay, good. Okay, good. Okay. All right. We're on the same page. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to tune in or tune out, depending on what level you are. I'm going to drink some more coffee, Mom. Hearing your mom, wherever she is. I'm helping. Bring her into this.
Yeah,
And if you're listening, check out the website, echobodine.com, and you can, any of the books, Echoes of the Soul, the little book of true ghost stories, Look for the Good, you'll find it, A Still Small Voice, and the one we're talking about today, What Happens When We Die. Okay, that's just the overview. There are more, but, you know, you can do this research yourself. In the meantime, I'm so thrilled. Thank you. You're coming to Kansas City. We'll talk about that, too. And we'll continue with Echo Bodine here next on Conscious Living.
Hey, Larry, mind if I sit down?
Nope.
This coffee tastes like coffee. So what's going on?
Not much.
What's new?
Not much.
Okay, but can you please put the newspaper down while you say not much?
What newspaper?
This newspaper. Oh, dude, what happened to your face? I see one, two, three, four, five, six.
Ow.
Dude, what is this? 11 pieces of toilet paper stuck to your face?
I'm shaving in the dark to save energy. I'm helping the environment.
That's a dangerous way to help the environment.
Well, sometimes you have to sacrifice yourself for the greater good.
Dude, there's an easier and safer way to help the environment without sacrificing yourself. Go green, go public. Take public transportation. It's good for the environment and you won't have to live behind a newspaper.
Wow.
But for now, put the newspaper back up.
A message from the public transportation systems across the country. To learn more, visit publictransportation.org.
I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong. I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong.
It's always nice to come home. But these days, many Americans are at risk of foreclosure and losing their homes. Fortunately, help is available. Making Home Affordable is a free program from the U.S. government that has already helped over 1 million struggling homeowners, and we want to help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
And I love it. I'm home.
I'm home.
Find out now what your options are. Go to makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE. The sooner you act, the better chance we can help you.
I'm home where I be.
Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg! Ha-ha, I win! Whoa! Ah! Sassy! Johnny fell down the well!
I'm wet!
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl! What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold!
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound health and temperament?
I'm wet and cold!
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What'd he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
That was a perfect segue. That's the shelter pet. Sassy. Appropriately named. Johnny, get a clue. We're talking with Echo Bodine. Hi there, I'm Wendy. This is Conscious Living on Empower Radio or iHeart or iTunes or wherever you have managed to find us, YouTube. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in. And today, I really appreciate the work that Echo has done because she gives you a chance, if you could take courses, classes, instruction, whatever, to develop your own abilities as well. And it's accessible. It isn't like a mumbo jumbo guru, you know, you have to go sit in somewhere and then, you know, turn a circle, turn on a cartwheel, all this. You just relax and let it happen. Okay. So I wanted to talk about the pet thing because pets watch us go through all of our hijinks and our cartwheels and our loop-de-loops. And when they're just saying, shh, be quiet and you'll hear me. Shh, stop projecting. Be quiet and you'll hear me. They're trying to teach us how to be better receivers. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's my experience. And I'll give you the other thing first, but I wanted to have your take on it.
Well, honey, I totally agree. I mean, I think our pets are way more than just little pets. They're little healers, in my mind, they are. And I totally do not agree. Oh my God, I can't even believe someone who's in touch with the other side would say that heaven isn't full of animals, because it is. And but like you were right, honey. It's all about our beliefs, and for some reason she just doesn't see them in her scope. So.
Well, and that's fascinating to me, because her reality is just as real. And she, you know, she brings that piece of the equation, I think, as a leveler, and to say, remember, each of us is here with a certain ability and a certain toolbox and a certain, you know, instruction sheet. Yep. And so hers may be to get people at least up to that level of being able to connect with the other side. And then the pets will come in later. They're that other door, you know, or behind a tree.
Yeah, that's right.
Kind of the way we do aliens right now. They're just hiding behind the trees. They look like little sparkles, and we really can't see them because we have no clue what to look for.
<That's right>. Oh, God. You know, there's a book, okay, called 90 Minutes in Heaven, written by a minister. And I think he's charismatic or fundamentalist or one of those kind. And he had a near-death experience, went to the other side, and said that, and he didn't say in the community that he went to, because a lot of these people that go to different communities, they don't think that there's anything outside of that community. They think that's it. That's the way heaven is. And he said that when he was there, he saw that all these souls, what we do in heaven is we sing praises to God all day. Now, that the scary part of that is that this is a best-selling book, and this is the message that's getting out there, is that, you know, when we die, we go to heaven and sing praises to God all day.
You're kind of sunk if you can't sing.
What? What?
You're sunk if you can't sing. Like you can't
good
carry it to.
Yeah,
oh no,
point.
No, that's not. I would say that was not heaven, but you know.
Oh my
that's just
God!
Me.
But that's his reality. And I, you know, as I say in this book, God is not an egomaniac. God is not asking people to stand around and sing praises to him/her all day. Oh my God! Are you kidding me? But again, that's his reality. And so now a lot of people think that. And you know, Wendy, one of the things that I found when I have found ghosts, when I've gone to like high schools, because they're talking about, they're complaining about spirits, you know, the students are seeing spirits, or when I've gone to homes and, you know, there's a spirit jumping on the bed or causing a problem. Every time I see a teenage ghost, I ask them, why don't you go to the other side? And every one of them says to me, heaven's going to be so boring. I get over there, I get my angel wings, and I just play a harp all day. Okay, that's what they think heaven is going to be. And heaven is so not like that. I mean, if that's what they want to do, they're certainly not going to get wings just by going to heaven. It just doesn't work that way. But
it would be nice if you want to fly, then you've got them, okay? If you know, you don't have to use them all the time to just kind of there.
That's what a lot of kids think, is that, well, it's just going to be boring. You just go over there and now you're an angel and you just play the harp all day. Oh my gosh. And so that's why, you know, it is important to talk about these things, to let kids know, let people know that heaven is so much more. Heaven is really just like Earth, except, you know, they don't have the pollution. The wars aren't going on. I don't know. It's just a very, very nice earth.
Diverse community. And it's what one of the clues is the saying that there are many rooms in my mansion. I mean, that to me, that was a beautiful analogy and a metaphor. And it spoke so much to what there is beyond what we can see in this physical realm. Mm-hmm. Okay, back to the pets. I did a session and it was so funny because I had a sense there were four people and five chairs. The fifth one was for me, but okay. I felt like I can't sit in the chair. There's a reason. And I said, I'll wait. Well, the cat jumped in the chair and the cat played host to the event because the cat was representing the deceased. And it was very clear when everything had continued and when the cat liked what I was saying. And the cat paid attention and gave me his full attention, or he needed to demonstrate something that also enhanced what I said. The cat did that. And then when we were done, the cat left the circle. And I thought, and I felt my body, I felt the energy dissipate. And all of a sudden it was like, oh, okay, we're done. But it was so powerful because this cat was listening and I was listening to the cat. And then the deceased is also there and making this kind of a community, a connection, very much demonstrating this multifaceted, multidimensional reality that's happening right under our noses. And until we're ready to see it or open to allowing it, we kind of dismiss it or deny it. Mm-hmm. And that's healthy too. That's healthy too. But when you're ready, this world is so incredibly beyond our ability to describe or put into mathematical equations that it's liberating. It's fun. It's amazing.
Yep.
Okay, fine.
Yep.
Oops.
Wendy, settle down now. Settle down, girl. Have a cup of coffee.
Come on. I'm so glad to talk with you. It's so nice to talk with somebody who sees and feels and senses and is open and is positive and empowered. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you do that with others too. So this is a reflection of the enthusiasm I sense in your story.
That's good. Yeah. Yeah. It is fun to talk to others of like mind. Yes, it is.
Where did you, with the ghost things, where do you go when you see, now the people like to tend to, you know, they like to put these big frightening names on them and there's a demon and there's this big, awful horror story. Well, how do you deal with that?
Yep. Oh God. Well, you know, people always say, oh my gosh, is it a demon? That's all. They want to know that right away. And you know why? Because of TV. Because TV makes all these ghost shows make it look or make it sound or say, oh, it's a demon. And I have had, when I've done a TV show about ghosts, the producers are always like, you know, would you just say on camera that they're demons? And I say, no, I'm not going to say that because they're not a demon. Well, would you just say it, you know, just for, you know, for effect? No,
would
I'm
you
not
sell
say
your authenticity or authority, please? Because it's for TV and it's just going to be this one moment here.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just ridiculous. Okay, demons. Let's talk about demons for a second, because in all the years that I have been doing ghost bustings, I've never met a demon. I don't even know what a demon looks like. I don't even know what these people are talking about. Now, have I met some really crabby, creepy ghosts? Yes. Have I met some ghosts that I would never want to associate with? Yes. Have some of them been, you know, tried to hurt me? Yes. I've had a couple of them try to push me down the stairs. I had one lady in Oregon who tried to choke me. And I had one here in the Twin Cities that slapped me on the back of the head. But if you think about it, you know, if I've been really doing this for 40 plus years, and I've only had five instances where ghosts have tried to hurt me, you know, that's pretty minimum, really. Most ghosts are just, you know, first of all, a ghost is a person and their soul has chosen not to go on to the other side. And the most common reason is that they're afraid that if they do go to heaven, they're going to get sent to hell. So they just, you know, they hang out here and they get bored and they want to scare people. And the thing about ghosts that people also need to understand is these aren't, you know, old souls who are very spiritual in nature. They are young souls who like to mess with people. Some of them are bullies. They like to scare people. They're just
well. They feed on that emotion, that because you are frightening yourself by feeding into it too, and then it gives it more power. And so it's like a little cesspool, or it would a jacuzzi. The way they described it to me was like we. On this, in this level of thought forms and non-corporeals, there is that element that likes to stir the pot. And so as they do that, they exacerbate whatever emotions, especially like in a very conflicted household where you've already got people who are over the edge and way, way emotionally unstable. And then this element adds to it, and it's just feeding off of it. And not in an, we want to put a negative or a positive. It's like, it's a way to just experience being without attachment. And so they're, they're in that jacuzzi or that element of bubbly negative vibe, and they're going, whoa, turn it up, man, turn it up.
That's right. Yep. That's right. That's a good analogy. Yep.
I've had to learn to talk about it differently.
Yeah.
Because if you give people a negative, a projection, then it sticks. If you just kind of leave it neutral and say, you're going to determine what this is for you. And a minute you put a label or a title, you stick it. Don't stick it until you're ready.
Yeah, see, that's a really good way to say it. Really good way, Wendy. Yep.
I've learned. I'm still learning. It's just, this doesn't end, you know? Yeah, it's like you think you get to one level and then they throw a whole new flotsam and jetsam piece of the puzzle at you and you're going, uh-oh.
That's also part of the fun of knowing that whatever level you go to, there's always going to be more learning, more understanding. You know, it's cool. It's cool. I remember many years ago, I thought, oh, animals don't have souls. They don't go to heaven. I didn't know. And then as I grew spiritually, then I started to see them. Oh, they are in heaven. Oh my gosh. And, it's a matter of where we're at in our belief system, how much we've grown spiritually. And the fun part is that it always changes if we allow it to. Now, you know, you and I have both met lots of people who refuse to change anymore, refuse to look at things from a different perspective. And that's really unfortunate because there is so much to learn.
Well, part of it, too, is when you start seeing things differently, like seeing ghosts who have animals, ghosts who have pets, and then have the pet walk around and rub up against your leg, even though it's not a real pet, but it still does the same thing that a pet would do.
Yeah.
And then that belongs to the lady of the house or the male. They take their reality with them if they don't want to go forward. I had one lady tell me, no, I don't. We're happy here. And she continued to sit on the porch with her cat and may be there in perpetuity because she's saying no. Now, maybe somebody else will go and convince her. Otherwise, I honored her need to stay there until she was ready to go somewhere else.
That's very cool. That's very cool.
Well, it was just, I thought, I hadn't had that experience where somebody wanted to stay with their cat in perpetuity. At least that's how I look at it. Mm-hmm. And because it was bliss for her. Mm-hmm. That was bliss. And so for her, that was her heaven. Mm-hmm. And for me to take that away from her, I don't believe I have the authority. Mm-hmm. And I will let somebody else handle that one because it was not my job to fix her not broken reality.
Good point.
Yeah, but it's not everybody's going to do it the way I do. But that's why I like your books, because you give a lot of different scenarios where people have had these experiences and what you have done. And then you also offer sessions to help people and assist them with their way of opening and accessing intuitive abilities.
Well, that's what's most important to me, is that I just want people to know that they can do these things, they can learn about these things. You know, I mean, gosh, people can get so stuck. And, you know, I'm sorry, but I got to say it. It's religion that gets us stuck. And then, you know, we believe what our parents say and what the church says, and then we just stay stuck in that place. And that's why, to me, it's just really important to keep giving people examples of what's possible. Come on, this is possible. This is possible. And slowly but surely open up people's minds. You know, and start asking questions.
I think that choice that you're offering, that free will, that, you know, connect to that inner spirit of exploration and instead of judgment, and then follow that with heart.
Yeah,
with
and don't be so afraid. But, you know, people are just so afraid to stray away from well, but my parents said that this is how it is, or, well, my minister says this is how it is. It's like, you can stray. It's okay. You're not going to go to hell. It's okay. And yet it can be very, very scary for people to even go buy a book on, you know, the paranormal or anything in our whole field of the way that we believe. I mean, lots of people that are scared to death, really, to ask questions or to think a different way. And that's really unfortunate.
Well, and that's what happens sometimes when they get stuck in between, that limbo, that in between of, I don't know if I want to go forward because I don't think there's a forward. And if there is a forward, it's not going to be the kind I want. And so they, you know, they might hang around kicking bed stools and opening closet doors and knocking on windows and stuff because that's all they know. And it's like, well, okay, I'm here. And they're very attached to the physical plane. Mm-hmm. And going forward is to a complete I would say, as if you're gambling, a crapshoot.
Yep.
It's like, oh, no. I've heard too many bad things. It's got a bad rap.
That's right.
And I know what I've done, and I'm not going to make it because I have not passed this course. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So
uh-huh.
And there they are waiting. And it's like, no. Come on. Just go ahead. It's all right. And then you have to call somebody to come pick them up. Cab driver, you know. Come on, get the care cab, the angels, get them in here. We've got to pick up, you know, and it's just that thing of taking all the seriousness away from it and the doom and gloom and bringing it into a level of acceptance. And, I think a lot more affection and you know, that genuine sincerity of compassion, you know, you have to somehow bring that element back in there, and then they get less frightened and less judgmental of themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You're right.
Work with people, what's the first, usually the first thing that they come in with them that says they can't do it? What are their, I guess, insecurities?
You know what? The biggest thing, people are always worried that, well, if they do have these gifts, does that make them crazy? And are people going to think that they're crazy? And I was just thinking about my Tuesday night class, because my Tuesday night class is very different than classes that I've taught in the past. And they all, it's like all these people who are very gifted, but they've had nobody else in their life that they can talk to about this. And so every week when we meet and they ask questions or I present a topic to them, they always start out their sentences with, well, you're going to think I'm crazy, but, and it's like, wow, the biggest thing, really, that is their biggest issue, is they don't want to appear unusual. They want people to think that they're just like them. They're really hassled about having these gifts, and some of them are thinking, well, if I develop it, maybe I can make it go away. Some of them come and they develop it just to have a better understanding of it, but they're still really, really afraid of it. So it's really been interesting with this class versus the other classes, who a lot of the students, when they come take a psychic development class, you know, they're excited about it. They want to develop it. Whereas with this particular class, they're very intellectual about all of it. They're always trying to understand it. You know, I can't tell my neighbors, I can't tell my family that I'm taking this class. So their biggest fear always is, on the one hand, I hope I have it. On the other hand, I hope I don't. On the one hand, I want to use these gifts to help people. On the other hand, I hope it doesn't really work. And so they've got conflict. You know, a lot of them have conflict about these abilities. And, oh, I don't know if I can do this. Oh, I don't know. I think I should shut it down. And, you know, from some of the students that have started out in the class and then stopped coming, they'll send emails and explain to me that I got scared because I got those answers correct, and I just don't know if I want this. So there's
Absolutely.
You know, people have a lot of issues with these gifts, and I know that that comes from, and here comes another issue, past lives. But, you know, people struggle with that one. Oh, I don't have any past lives. No, I don't want to believe in reincarnation. But it's like, well, obviously, you know, you've had your gifts in previous lives and it didn't turn out well for you. And so, yes, you've got issues around it. And let's work through those issues. It's just, wow, it's fascinating, really.
Now, we're winding down. We're winding down. So I want to shift the boat here just a little bit because this is a really, really powerful and excellent story. And it has to do with lawnmowers. So
okay.
I'll just leave that. There's lawnmowers. I really, really appreciate the fact that that lawnmower is going to save me the next time I get flighty. You want, and this is be careful what you ask for because you're going to get it. You wanted to go and see what it was like to cross over.
Yes.
La, 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 la. And you got an opportunity to see what that was like. Was it just a little bit more than you bargained for?
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Well, I just asked. Yes.
Just put it out there. Like, maybe.
Yes, I did.
Maybe this would be fun.
Yes. I mean, I, you know, we went on a ghost busting job and I said to God, I'd like to know more about the other side so that I can tell these souls what it's like. And
was that out loud, God? Yes, that was out loud.
Yes, it was out loud. And then before I knew it, 3 days later, I got to go to the other side and I got to see the different communities and I got to see so many cool things. But, the problem is then, you come back, and I'm sure near-death people have these feelings of you come back and you don't want to be here. You want to be on the other side where it's absolutely wonderful and beautiful and people are in a much different place. They can see the bigger picture. And are you thinking about, because when you say lawnmower, that reminds me of when my friend Sully died and her soul asked me if I would help her go to the other side. For some reason, she was nervous about it. And so we had this whole experience for a whole day. My soul was out of my body, and she took me to different places that she had lived and her schools that she went to and where she lived. Yeah, the homes she lived in, the schools she went to. She took me all over, and then we went to the other side. And when I came back into my body, I was so ungrounded, and a voice said to me, go out and mow the grass. And I thought, mow the grass? And it was like, yep, mow the grass. And I just thought that was the goofiest thing. And I went out and mowed the grass, and I got really grounded. And then that's when I was able to see where I had been all day. And I saw the whole experience. But up until then, I didn't really know where I was or what was going on or anything. So, yeah, grounding is incredibly important. And mowing the grass is one of the ways that we can get very grounded.
I wanted to bring that in because it touches all those elements, both of those stories, because it's the thing of enlightenment. Before enlightenment, chop wood. After enlightenment, chop wood. Life goes on. You want to be grounded. Do something very, very essential, like washing dishes, chopping wood, mowing the grass.
Yep.
I love that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's right.
We're going to have to wrap. What would you like to say in closing?
Well, I'd just like to invite people, really, to the talk on Friday. Do you have the dates there, sweetie? September?
You know what? It's Unity Temple on the Plaza, Kansas
Thank
City. You know what? I think it's the 26th. I didn't write the
26th,
date.
That's right.
I wrote this down and didn't write the date. Shame on me.
Okay. No, no, that's right, honey. You're right. 26th. I will be at Unity. What's it called, sweetie? Unity
Temple on the Plaza in Kansas City.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
And what we're going to talk about is everything. It's I think the title of the talk is Everything You've Wanted to Know About the Paranormal, But We're Afraid to Ask. So I'm just going to come in. I'm going to talk a little bit about everything, and then I'm going to open it up to questions from the audience.
I think it's their Adventures in Conscious Living series or Adventures in Consciousness. And so, yeah, this is, and if that, I want to, we're talking because I knew you were coming to Kansas City, but if you're listening to this in a replay, Echo is available, echoboatdean.com online, and you can check that out, see her videos on YouTube or get one of her books, Amazon, you know, wherever you connect. This experience of being empowered by using your telepathic abilities is something we're all learning more about. And right now is a crucial time as things are expanding and we're having more experiences like this that we're sharing to figure out how it works and just to help enhance that. And Echo can help you do that if you just, you know, if you're willing to give yourself the permission to go beyond your doubt.
You know what else, Wendy? That just reminds me. If there's people out there who want to develop their abilities, but there's nobody around them to help them, we have at echobodine.com, we have online psychic development classes, and the next one's actually going to start Monday, September 29th. So they can go to the website and learn more about that.
Excellent.
It's so cool, Wendy, because we get people from all over the globe that take these classes, and then you end up having a lifelong friend, you know, in Ireland or Scotland, or it's just cool. It's cool.
And then you'll know when the next person tells you about the ice cream sundae that it's really not you wanting the ice cream sundae. It's somebody in Ireland going, ooh, wouldn't this be cool? We got to get out of here. You are so fun.
You are so fun.
And thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. And
yes,
I appreciate
your
time and look forward to seeing you.
Are you kidding? This is cool. Fun to hang out with you.
Yay!
We should do it more than once every 10 years. Really?
Okay. We'll connect.
Cool.
We'll connect.
Okay, honey.
Thanks for listening. This is Conscious Living on Empower Radio, echobodine.com. Check it out. Have a wonderful day and think the best thoughts. That's what comes back to you or somebody else.